So let me begin, and I guess I should have done that before I prepared. Did you read the previous passages of Hebrews in the past weeks, the letter to the Hebrews? Well, that just added 20 minutes to my sermon, so let's go. So one of the passages, the lectionary is spread out, so there's always a letter, part of the Hebrew Bible, a psalm, a letter, and then the gospel. And, you know, we're people of limited attention spans and shrinking, so we tend to skip it, and in the summer even I only go for two. But one of the passages is the letter to the Hebrews. And Hebrews was basically a group of Christians, but also a group of who were Jews, and who are wondering how can they figure out how to be Jewish and Christian at the same time. And they were wondering, some of them, could Jesus be the Messiah? And so through the past 12 chapters, the author has been telling them why Jesus has been the fulfillment of all the prophecies. And so in the past two or three Sundays, the appointed passages were, he said, first of all, you're not alone. There's that great cloud of saints. And second of all, when you realize you're not alone, then your next question is, well, that's all great, but the life I'm living right now sometimes is not a life of a saint in terms of there are a lot of things going against me. And he said, yes, that's true. He said, there are a lot of things that go against you. But he said, you're not alone, and you're not in competition with the saints. So I don't know if some of you remember, I know now the way you are taught, it's a little bit changed, but we used to be given every month the best student of the month. And unless it was me, I loathed them. Yeah. Not in math, because I thought God gave that gift to somebody else, and you know, all the power to you, use it. So I knew I was never going to go up for math, but if somebody got me to the best of history, oh, yeah, no. And so what the author to the Hebrews is saying, this is not how this works. The saints are not in competition with you. Think about it as a race where you pass on. The saints have run the race so well that they now give you some leeway in case you fall, that you have 2 minutes. And they love to see you excel, and they love to see you win. And then he also writes, at the very end, we all know that there are times when in the life of faith, things are going tough for us. And he also lists the other saints. And he said, not all of the saints died happy and merry. In fact, a lot of them did not. You know, we love Daniel, but I don't know how many of us would like to go into, you know, an oven, number one, and then to go into a pit with a lion, you know, who wasn't fed. And those of you who've seen Game of Thrones, you remember how Sansa dealt with her husband, right? So, not my kind of saint. So, you know, if I had to follow, I'm like, Daniel, probably not on the top of my priorities. But the reason he's saying to this is, listen, saints are not perfect people. They had good faith, but sometimes in their lives did not see it. And so he finally comes to this chapter. Okay, so only 7 minutes. So I have like, okay. So he comes to this chapter and he says to them, so where are we all going? And he says, sometimes we are offered a vision of two mountains, Mount Zion, the mount where they were given the law. And the passage is, in fact, if you ever read Exodus, go back, it's a fun passage to do in Bible studies. Also, when you count the amount of times they went up and went down, because it doesn't necessarily match. So there are at least two or three stories in Exodus of how they went up. But the thing they're all adamant is they received the law, and that it was a terrifying experience to experience how radically other God is. When we say holy, 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 Hebrew kadosh, 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 it means other, other, radically other. And so when they were told that even if you touch the mountain and you touch the ark, it will kill you, because that's how radically other God is. It's these old, what we call taboos, that they were so afraid and so unaccustomed to seeing a God so different that they wouldn't come near, they wouldn't touch anything God touched, because they were afraid. And he said, what they remembered was the clouds and then the thunder and the outsourcing of the talking to God by Moses. And he said, you now sometimes hear that in Jesus everything is lovey bunny, fluffy dovey, fluffy bunny dovey, whatever. And he says, that is true, but he said, it is the same God, and the only reason we do that is because we simplify the message. He has taken upon himself the consuming fire. And that's why he says, for indeed, our God is a consuming fire. And for us today, the fire is the image that we see in California, and right now in the Amazon, it's petrifying. But for them, the image would be of dross consumed by fire. To get metal, something that purifies, something that cleans. And he says, Jesus takes upon himself the law, and those are all the chapters before. He says he takes upon himself the Jewish law because he's a faithful Jew and fulfills it perfectly. So that when we approach the same God who is radically different in the way he chooses us, in the way he shows mercy, in the way he forgives, in the way he gives grace, in the way God is so much better than anything we could imagine. And it is scary to think about how radically different this God is, but he says we can approach this God with confidence, this consuming fire that Jesus is, because Jesus takes upon himself the role of Moses, and so much more. He's the sacrificial lamb. In the letter to the Hebrews, he does describe worship. He's the prophet and the priest and the sacrifice. And that is why when we go up that mountain, we say, well, this is not the mountain our parents told us about. Where is all that clouds, you know, smoke? This is quite a lovely view. You know, a nice summer day like this, I think I'm going to have a mimosa on the top. This is quite pleasant. And then you realize at the top of the mountain, it's like, oh my God, we're at the same mountain. And oh my God, the God who is love is the same God from the Old Testament. Because the law has been fulfilled and we have received grace. And it is only when we realize how much we have been forgiven, how much we have been carried through, do we understand our God is a God of consuming fire? But we can now stand with God in peace in the blessed company of heaven. And so, this is why we come here. We all come to church for many reasons, and most of them are always wrong, but we end up in the right place. We come here because we like most of the people we sit around, and I'm assuming because I see a lot of you're sitting with spouses, you know, some come so the spouse can have a break. We come for fellowship, we come because we love the music, we come because we like the preaching, we come because we like the people, and we come because it motivates us. But also, I want you to remember the passage of Hebrews. From the very early on, Christianity said, heaven is not you riding on a cloud. Heaven is one joyous feast of the saints he spoke above, or the saints you know. And sometimes a miracle happens, and our worship is where we open the cloud. The clouds are open to us, and we can see a glimpse of what is happening, to motivate us to go up that mountain. And again, it is the same God when he was revealed to God's self to Moses that Moses was freaked out and in the burning bush. But now all that has been taken care for us by Jesus. And we come here to worship the God of grace, the God of love, the God of forgiveness, of compassion, the God shown to us in Jesus Christ. And that is how we are built up for the week to come and for the day to come, for the conversation to come. Whatever it is that comes our way, we know our final destination. Remember the poem by Frost, "The road taken makes all the difference." And we are on a good road. And we have a good shepherd in front of us. So let us rejoice and be glad that the God we meet is a God of consuming fire, of love and grace and peace. Amen. Let us spend a few minutes in the quietness of our hearts.